Chapter 36. Instead of stopping at the station, Jesse swung his Explorer toward the bridge to Stiles Island. Molly, who'd been silent during the ride back from Boston, took notice, sitting up in her seat, her head swiveling left and right.
"What are we doing?" she asked, her voice strained. "Where are we going?"
"That's up to you," Jesse said.
"I don't understand."
"I think you do. I think you understood the minute Charbo said there were boys and girls on that rowboat."
"He wasn't sure about anything he said. You heard him."
"I did."
"I don't..."
Molly went quiet. "Where would they have taken the boat to, Molly?"
"I don't know," she said.
"Come on, Crane." Her eyes got a faraway look in them.
"Humpback Point, I guess,"
she said, her lips turning up at the corners.
"Where?"
"No one calls it that anymore. It's not there anymore. I mean, it's there, but there's a house on it now."
"Which house?"
"The Sugar Cube," she said. Jesse knew the place. Everyone on Stiles and in Paradise knew it. And owing to the fact that it had been featured on the cover of several magazines, people all over the world knew it, too. They called it the Sugar Cube because it looked like one. The only thing that broke up the white exterior was a continuous horizontal line of blue glass panels that ran around all four walls of the home. It was all very minimalist. There were no fencing, no stone walls around the property, no formal driveway, no formal landscaping to speak of. Just some well-kept lawn, a Japanese rock garden, a few pieces of abstract sculpture. The lot's one signature outdoor feature was a 20-by-20 black stone square with a central fire pit surrounded by four long slabs of gray granite. There was a rectangular white marble pool and white cabana as well. Jesse thought it was pretty enough, but about as cozy as a mausoleum. The place was owned by a New York City architect who used it as a summer home and to impress potential clients. It had been closed for the season, the owner having notified local security and the Paradise PD that he wouldn't be back until after Memorial Day. Jesse parked his Explorer on the shoulder of the road that ran past the north side of the property. He hopped out and waited for Molly to follow. She came around and stood next to him. The sun was up and strong. But no matter how strong the sun, it wasn't the time of year to be standing on a finger of land sticking out into the Atlantic. The winds whipped cold sand into their faces.
"Show me," he said.
"This way." Molly walked across the road, through the straw-colored dormant dune grasses, over the low dunes and onto the narrow strip of beach that bordered that part of Stiles. She turned right and led Jesse to a V-shaped outcropping of rocks that nearly bisected the beach.
"You could take a boat out here and tie it up," she said. "And if it was dark, there was no way you could see a boat tied up here from the water.
Then you could climb over the rocks," she pointed.
"See, the rocks kind of form a natural ladder. There wasn't a paved road here back then, just a kind of a berm between the beach and the field. This lot didn't used to be elevated the way it is now. When we were kids, the field sloped down below the berm.
So passing boats couldn't see anyone up here." Molly nodded. "Was it called Humpback Point because of the berm?" Jesse said. She nodded again. Jesse said, "You smiled before when you called it Humpback Point."
"I did?"
"You did. There was another reason you guys called it that. Emphasis on the hump in humpback."
"You should be a detective," Molly said.
"Like you," she smiled. "That's just pretending."
"So kids came here to get high, drink, make out?"
"Sometimes more than make out," she said.
"Did something happen to you here, Molly?"
Jesse's voice was low and serious. Molly looked up and saw the pained expression on his face.
"Oh, no, Jesse, it wasn't like that," she said. "It was kind of awkward. I guess it always is, right? Was it like that for you?"
He smiled at her. "Awkward doesn't quite describe it. Quick and awkward is more like it." She laughed.
"With us, it was really sweet and beautiful."
"It wasn't your husband?" She clenched her lips together and shook her head.
"I guess I hoped it would be, but I was a 16-year-old Catholic high school girl. What did I know about anything? But he was really sweet and gentle." Do you think Mary Kate and Ginny were on that rowboat, and do you think they were coming here? He asked.
We found their remains in the swamp, Jesse. That's all the way off the island, at the western end of town. And I think the cops searched the island after it was reported they were missing, didn't they?
They did. Doesn't mean they weren't here or that they weren't killed here.
I guess not, she said, but...
But what? Come on, Molly. You're not that girl anymore. You're a cop, the best one I've got.
The killer crushed Ginny's skull, and he stabbed Mary Kate multiple times. That's a lot of blood and a lot of dead weight to transport, even if they weren't very big. How did he get them off the island and over to the swamp without anyone noticing?
Good question.
Jesse's phone buzzed in his pocket. He checked the screen. It was the ME. He looked over to Molly.
I gotta take this, he said.
Molly walked back down the beach toward Jesse's SUV.
What have you got for me, Doc?
The proximate cause of death was a fractured cervical vertebra, likely resulting from a violent fall. Several of her vertebrae were broken, so take your pick. As I suspected, she was pretty badly broken up internally. I'm listing it as a probable suicide, the ME said with some hesitation in her voice.
Probable? Why probable, Doc?
It's her panties.
Her panties? What about her panties? Were they on backwards or something?
That's just it, Jesse. They weren't on her at all.
What?
She met her maker commando style, Tamara said. Takes all kinds.
Let's keep the missing panties between us, okay? Fax the report over.
Already done.
You up for a little more friendship tonight? He asked.
As long as that's what it is, sure. If you're looking for love, you're looking in all the wrong places.
I got the message, Doc. You're nobody's right gal.
Nice to meet a man who can handle his scotch and pay attention.
I've never been flattered like that before.
Call me later.
When Jesse got back to his Explorer, Molly had retreated back into herself and her past. He had some other questions to ask her, but let them slide. Molly's debut as a detective had already been a tough one. He dropped Molly back at her house before heading to the station.
Take a little while, then get yourself back to the station, he said. In uniform?
Up to you. But it will really get suit crazed to see you dressed like that. I've let him play detective once or twice, too.
That's okay, Jesse, she said. I think I'll get my uniform back on.
Chapter 37. He pulled up to the maintenance shed on the grounds at Sacred Heart Girls Catholic, just as he had on the night the nor'easter blew into town. This time there was no flash and roar of gunfire, no need for him to back up into the delivery bay, no body for him to dispose of.
It would creep me out working here. Doesn't it ever get to you? He asked.
Why?
Because the girls went to school here.
Yeah, I guess, sometimes, he said, draining the oil from the old red tractor they used to plow the snow off the sidewalks in front of the school. Mostly I don't think about it. I can't afford to be choosy. With my record, I'm lucky I got a damn job at all.
Which one of you shot Zevon?
He turned, looking over his shoulder at his visitor.
Who do you think?
You?
Of course. I didn't like Zevon that much to begin with, and I liked him even less that he came back to town. Besides, our other pal talks a good ball game, but underneath, Mr. Tough Guy is... You know him. He was the one that caused all this shit to begin with. You know what he had the nerve to tell me at the scupper the other night? That he didn't even want to go to Styles the night we... You know, that night. I call bullshit on that. That's what I said. You hear about Maxie Conley?
Sure, he said. Looks like she killed herself. Threw herself off the bluffs. But that doesn't mean you were wrong the other night. Our friend's definitely a problem.
It'll be all right. You know how Alicia gets sometimes, all hot-blooded and crazy. We just gotta keep him calm. Hold his hand a little, that's all.
He turned around again.
Come over here and help me with this filter a second. Guy who put it on didn't lube it and then put it on so tight. Do it yourself. I gotta get back to my office. I can't get dirty.
No, that's right. You don't like getting dirty. He ignored the dig.
It's too late for hand-holding. Jesse's already had a talk with him.
With Alicia? Shit.
He dropped his wrench, sent it clanging against the concrete floor.
What? What happened?
Alicia was in the Whaler Lounge at the hotel, and Maxie Connolly walked in. First he hit on her, and then he got all stupid, telling her how sorry he was about Ginny. A few hours later, she was dead.
You don't think Alicia?
He didn't, but Jesse Stone is smart. Alicia is on his radar screen now, and he's not coming off it until the chief has somewhere else to look.
Hey, don't even think about putting Stone on me. I'll give you...
Don't be an idiot, he said. How far would it get any of us to throw suspicion at you? No, we've got to think of a way to get Jesse to look someplace else. You think Alicia still has the knife from that night?
Sure he does. You know how cheap he is. He still got his grandpa's first nickel. He won't sell fish to the tourists because he thinks it's a waste.
Okay, give me a day or two. I think I might have an idea of what to do.
What should I do until then?
Nothing, not a thing. Finish changing the oil. Go about your job. Do what you always do. If Alicia calls, keep him calm and tell him we've got it all under control.
Do we?
Do we what?
Have it all under control?
Not all of it, not yet, but we will.
You sure about that?
I've gotten us this far. Let me worry about it. Don't call me unless it's an emergency. I need time to set things up. I'll be in touch when I'm ready.
You got someone in mind?
I do.
Okay, then. You better get out of here.
He left without another word. He knew what had to be done, but in spite of his urge to just get it over with, he knew he had to keep his wits about him and wait for the right moment. Unlike that night on Stiles, he couldn't let this spiral out of control.